Welcome to All Sides with Dan Fisher. Last week, the executive director of Ohio Right to Life, Mike Ganadakis, said he was disappointed that an Ohio House committee had dropped an amendment that would have blocked federal family planning funds for Planned Parenthood in Ohio.
We drafted this legislation to avoid lawsuits like what happened in Texas or any other states. This would simply divert money from the abortion industry and give it to our community health centers.
Gary Doherty of Planned Parenthood of Ohio said that the budget update bill was the wrong venue for the debate.
Well, I think it's a common sense issue. I think when people take a look at it and realize that this is up to now a 2,399-page budget bill, and we're dealing with non-budget items, healthcare issues that affect women throughout the state.
This isn't the first time that government and other funding for Planned Parenthood has been an issue, and we already know that separate legislation is planned to curb federal funding for Planned Parenthood in Ohio. Tens of millions have been cut in Texas alone, for example. So we decided to look at where the money comes from and how it's meted out to family planning providers throughout the country. Later on, we're going to talk with Mike Ganadakis of the Ohio Right to Life and also Gary Doherty of Planned Parenthood of Ohio. Joining us now is Claire Coleman. She's president and CEO of the National Family Planning and Reproductive Health Association. It's holding its national conference today in Washington, D.C., where she's joining us by phone. Welcome to the show, Claire.
Thank you.
We invited a representative from the Ohio Department of Health to discuss the distribution of federal family planning funding in Ohio, but they declined our request. We also invited a representative of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Office of Family Planning, to talk about the funding for family planning, and they also declined our request. So, Claire, you're stuck with us. Thanks for joining us again.
I'm delighted to be here.
It's called the Title 10 Family Planning Program. It was enacted in 1970 under President Nixon. It's the only federal grant program that provides for comprehensive family planning and related preventive health services to individuals. So what does all that mean? What does it provide for?
So the Title 10 refers to a section of a law called the Public Health Service Act. And there are a number of programs that fund health services around the country under the Public Health Service Act, including community health centers and family planning centers around the country. So as you mentioned, Title 10 is the only dedicated source of grant money that subsidizes care for poor, low-income, and vulnerable people around the country. Now, states like Ohio and all the other states also use other sources of federal money, including Medicaid, maternal and child health block grants, social services block grant funds to support health services. But Title 10 is the only dedicated funds for family planning care across the country.
To what extent do the states have discretion over how that funding is meted out?
So Title 10 is a categorical grant program, meaning Congress designates the level of funding each year in its appropriations process. Then that money is distributed by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to 10 regional offices. Ohio gets the opportunity to compete for family planning money by talking to its regional office and filing a grant application. So Title 10 money moves in different ways all around the country. In Ohio, the state government itself competes and has won Title 10 funds to distribute inside the state, but also a couple of private not-for-profits have competed and won the right to distribute funds throughout the state. And across the country, we see that quite a lot. So I'll just say a couple of words about this. In about 50% of the states, the state itself is the sole recipient of the Title 10 funds. And the state then makes the determination in which health centers and what areas of the state will subsidized family planning care be provided. In other parts of the country, it's a mix of state and private not-for-profit grantees who are deciding in which locations, in what areas of the state will care be subsidized. So in Ohio, as I mentioned, it's a mix of both. The state government has a grant that they distribute, and they have not-for-profits as grantees. About 20% of the states have that kind of arrangement that Ohio has.
So there are some states then where the state doesn't participate at all?
Correct. In 31% of the states choose not to compete for the money. So in Massachusetts, in Indiana, in Arizona, in California, in Missouri, the state doesn't compete for the money. And so private not-for-profits compete, and the regional offices award the Title 10 grants in those areas.
Does that tend to be a policy decision by the state, or why is that? Why the differences?
There are differences that are longstanding. So as you mentioned, Title X was enacted in 1970, and funds started moving in 1971. And at the time, in certain states, there wasn't a lot of public health infrastructure to be distributing services. That's certainly the case, for example, in Massachusetts. And so the feeling was that community partners who had already established healthcare services in the state would be better placed. California is another example. California has the largest state, got the biggest population. It has a gigantic network of family planning providers. But the state government has been really happy not to have that additional responsibility. So all of California's money goes to one private not-for-profit, and they operate a network of almost 400 sites throughout the state.
What private not-for-profit network is that?
Well, they're all different around the country. So in California, it's the California Family Health Council. In Ohio, one of the private not-for-profits is the Center for Community Solutions, which is based in Cleveland. Planned Parenthood of Northeast Ohio has also been a grantee. So the private not-for-profits can be any combination of health and human services providers in a given state. And a lot of the Title X providers also do additional safety net care. So, for example, they might be the maternal and child health provider in the given region, or they participate in the WIC program, which is a nutrition program for low-income women and their children. It's very often the case that that private not-for-profit is doing a lot of other health and community services in a region, and then additionally does the family planning services.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Claire Coleman. She's president and CEO of the National Family Planning and Reproductive Health Association. She's talking to us from Washington, and we're talking about how federal funding is divvied up among the states and among different nonprofit organizations when it comes to family planning. 614-292-8513 is the number to call if you have a question or comment for Claire Coleman. We are specifically interested in the issue of funding for Planned Parenthood and how that works out, but we're not talking about whether we're for or against abortion rights. 1-614-292-8513 is the number to call, though, if you have a question.
I'd love to make a comment right there.
Sure.
Because you just equated family planning and Planned Parenthood the way people equate Kleenex and tissue. And I think it's really important for folks to know that in Ohio and across the country, there's a very diverse provider network. There are more than 60 sites in the state of Ohio, from Akron to Ashland, from Wilmington to Zanesville, where family planning care is subsidized by Title X. A lot of county health departments and private not-for-profit providers, including hospitals and universities, participate in the Title X program. And I think one of the challenges we have in this debate is that people do make that equation. They think family planning equals Planned Parenthood the way Kleenex equals tissue. And while Planned Parenthood does do an enormous amount of good in the state of Ohio, there is a large and diverse network that is providing care throughout the state.
Right. Now, what do we mean by family planning? Do we only mean birth control? What does that entail nowadays, and has it changed much over the last 40 years?
It doesn't. Title X health centers offer contraception, so birth control, testing and treatment for sexually transmitted infections, cervical cancer screening, and breast exams as base care. Title X funds can't be used for abortion care at any time for any reason. The Title X programs screen people for high blood pressure, for anemia, and for diabetes. We counsel them about smoking cessation and obesity, and we connect them to other primary care and social services. And, you know, for 6 in 10 of the women who come into a family planning center, we are their only source of health care each year. So it's important to address the range of health concerns that a patient might have, and we are required to do so under the Title X program.
Has that mission changed since it was established in 1970?
Nope, it has not. It's written into our statute, and it is our obligation each year.
And 614-292-8513 is the number to call if you have a question or comment for my guest, Claire Coleman, president and CEO of the National Family Planning and Reproductive Health Association. You mentioned the idea of Planned Parenthood being synonymous like Kleenexes with tissue when it comes to family planning. That's because so much of the focus of controversy rests with the issue of Planned Parenthood funding. Has it ever been an argument ever been made, whether it's Planned Parenthood or another provider of abortions, that when you say that you can't fund abortion, when you're funding some other aspect of it, you're just shifting the funds, and that it's just freeing up other funds that they can put toward that service?
People advance that argument, but I think it betrays a lack of knowledge of how the Title X program works. So when the program was written and enacted in 1970, it was deliberately written as a subsidy program, meaning at no time in the 41-year history of this program has Title X ever covered the full cost of providing care. So it will underwrite the cost of an exam, a lab test, a patient education session, even community outreach. Title X will subsidize all of those activities, but it never pays for 100% of anything. And I didn't mention this, but before I came to the National Family Planning Association, I was actually a Title X delegate agency director in the state of New York, and I have run a program, a Title X program. Believe me, we scramble to find funds to support our total program. So this idea that if we give a particular entity Title X funds, that they now have free money, that money has been freed up in their budget to spend for other purposes, is counter to the statute. It has never been true. And every single system has to find other ways of supporting their family planning activities as a consequence of the way the law is written.
Charlotte in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Charlotte.
Good morning, Ann. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question for, is it Ms. Compton?
Coleman.
Coleman, excuse me. I'm sorry. That's I apologize. Is it possible under Title X statute for a grant applicant to receive a grant even though they refuse to provide contraception services for sectarian reasons?
It is possible to be a part of a Title X project. This is a little bit of a complicated answer. But when a grant is given, it is given for an entire Title X project. So for example, at my centers in New York, we had one system. I was the executive director, but we had 11 health centers. It is possible for one of our health centers not to provide contraception. So if I wanted to partner, for example, with a religious entity so that I could offer services in a particular community, that is permissible. However, it is not permissible to exclude contraception from the entire project. So, for example, I could have one or two centers that didn't offer contraceptive services, and that would be permissible as long as in other centers within the project area, the geographic area that I was serving, we did offer contraception. That's how the law is written, and that's how the program is administered today.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you.
In Texas, among other things, they've cut Medicaid funding to Planned Parenthood. Do you know about the Medicaid aspect of that and to what extent that is allowed? And is that perfectly, obviously it's legal because they've done it and there hasn't been a challenge as far as I know.
There may yet be.
Okay.
So I do know a lot about the Medicaid program. So Medicaid was established, it's very different from Title X because it's an income entitlement, meaning if you are of a certain income and you meet certain conditions, for example, you are pregnant or already a parent or you're disabled, you are income entitled to participate in the Medicaid program. Family planning is a mandatory benefit nationwide and has been since the inception of the Medicaid program, so you must provide family planning care within the Medicaid program. You may also, under Medicaid law, not restrict the provider network based on scope of service, which is what the state of Texas is attempting to do. So let me say two things about that. Indiana tried to do that last year. They actually tried to limit the nature of the Indiana Medicaid network to exclude Planned Parenthood specifically, and they were taken to federal court and they lost because it is against the law under the Medicaid program to exclude otherwise qualified providers from participation. So what Texas is doing is slightly different. Texas is saying, we'll just cancel our entire Medicaid women's health program. They have a special set-aside in Texas, as many states do. 28 states have this kind of program, where they set aside additional funds and recruit providers just to do family planning care. And there are good reasons. I'll talk in a minute about why states would do that, why it's cost-effective and smart to expand access to women's health care. But what Texas has decided to do is cancel the entire special women's health program because they know they can't exclude a provider like Planned Parenthood based on their scope of service. So they're trying something entirely novel, which is just cutting off the entire program and all the care for those women in Texas rather than allow an otherwise qualified provider group to participate.
Okay.
Should I tell you why it's a good idea to expand Medicaid family planning services?
Sure.
I'd love to do that. Okay. So the reason why states, 28 states with all different kinds of governors and legislatures, including the state of Ohio, have chosen to move ahead with expanding family planning care for low-income people is because Medicaid funds births. And in many states now, Medicaid is funding more than 50% of the births in a given state. So if Medicaid invests in family planning care, they get better pregnancy outcomes. Women get prenatal care earlier. They have better health outcomes for themselves, but they also deliver healthier babies. And that, in turn, reduces the cost to state governments because Medicaid is a shared program between the states and the federal government. But the federal government pays 90% of the cost of family planning care. It does not pay 90% of the cost of maternity and delivery. So if a state invests $1 in family planning care, they get $4 back in Medicaid costs that they avert. Because, again, pregnancy will trigger Medicaid coverage. Because the state has an interest in a healthy mom and a healthy baby. So states have broadly invested in increasing family planning access because it's good for their budgets and it's good for the public health.
Claire Coleman, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
It was delightful. Thank you so much for talking specifically about Title X.
Claire Coleman, she's president and CEO of the National Family Planning and Reproductive Health Association. We'll return to the conversation in a few minutes. Stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
On Talk of the Nation, we like to be clear about what we're talking about, whether it's movies.
A B-movie was a movie that was made specifically to be on the bottom half of a double feature.
Or the auto industry.
One mid-level executive at a top automaker told me, well, 30 years ago, we were a car company that would occasionally lend money to our customers, and now we're a bank that makes cars.
Talk of the Nation, clear, straight, open, from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation this afternoon from 2 until 4 on 89.7 NPR News. 63 degrees in downtown Columbus with partly cloudy skies. Some sunshine today, also a chance of a pop-up shower and a high of 80 degrees. Showers and thunderstorms are likely tonight, a low of 62. A chance of rain again for Tuesday, a high of 75.
Support for 89.7 comes from Home Care Assistance, in-home care for older adults with a philosophy of promoting health, well-being, and quality of life for all clients, no matter their limitations. Information on Home Care Assistance at 481-8888.
All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
On Saturday, about 250 Central Ohioans rallied at the State House for women's rights. Chief among their concerns, access to family planning-related health care and efforts to curtail federal funding to Planned Parenthood clinics throughout Ohio. GOP leaders in the Ohio House recently backed off a plan to cut about $1.7 million that Planned Parenthood uses for birth control and preventive health care and other services. Another measure to defund Planned Parenthood in Ohio is pending, however. Similar conflicts, Right to Life chapters being the biggest opponents of Planned Parenthood, are playing out across the country. In Texas, for example, Planned Parenthood has taken several major cuts to family planning funds. We just talked about the Medicaid cuts, and its operations have been banned, as I said, from a Medicaid health program. So not only has it been banned, but apparently they've dismantled the entire program in the state of Texas. Joining us now to talk about the situation in Ohio is Mike Ganadakis. He's executive director of Ohio Right to Life. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Thanks for having me in.
Also with us is Gary Daugherty. He's state legislative director for Planned Parenthood Affiliates of Ohio. Welcome to the show, Gary.
Thank you so much.
If you have a question or comment for our guest, we're not debating the issue of abortion. We're talking about federal funding for family planning services as it regards Planned Parenthood across the country, but specifically in Ohio. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, if you want to talk about that. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can go to our All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page and talk to us there. Mike Ganadakis, Right to Life organizations oppose public funds for Planned Parenthood because about, well, 3% of its services by most measures are used for abortions, but none of the funding is spent on abortions, abortion-related services or abortions. So why oppose spending on the other functions? What's the idea there?
Sure. But to answer that question, I have to clarify a few comments that were made by Claire as well as in the program here. First of all, our initiative does not cut family planning. The bottom line is we have an epidemic in our state not providing enough health care resources to poor and underinsured, uninsured women. What this legislation is going to do is it's going to take those dollars and it's not going to give it back to the feds. It's not going to go build a road or put in a rainy day fund. Every dollar that we receive is going to be used specifically for what Title X family planning has to do, but for to go to the abortion industry. There's, as Claire said, she said, large and diverse network in the state of Ohio of different centers where poor and uninsured women can go. For instance, there's 32 Planned Parenthoods, but there's approximately 340 other community health departments, community action agencies, or departments of health.
I get that you calling it the abortion industry is catchy and that sort of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Planned Parenthood provides a lot of other services. Why oppose funding for those other services?
Sure. Let's look at Senator Nina Turner's district, for instance, up in Cleveland. She's one of our biggest critics. In Cuyahoga County, there are five Planned Parenthood facilities. None of them provide prenatal care. None of them provide mammograms. Yet there's 13 community health centers, 10 of which provide mammograms, 10 of them provide prenatal care and other services. Ohio is a diverse state that there's centers that are seeing hundreds of thousands of more women than Planned Parenthood. So what we need to do is make sure that those centers that are seeing a vast majority of the women are getting the funds to do that. That's simply what this does.
Gary Doherty, how does Planned Parenthood rank in Ohio among the family planning service providers?
I think Planned Parenthood ranks pretty high among family planning providers in the state.
In terms of numbers and
In terms of services offered. And Claire is right that there are other providers throughout the state. I think the issue that we have foremost is that the proposal that we're looking at is a solution in desperate search of a problem. The funding mechanism in place right now is a competitive process. Public health departments can apply for family planning funds. Community health centers, federally qualified health centers, can apply for family planning funds. Primary practices can apply for family planning funds. So none of these offices, none of these health departments and other health care providers have come clamoring saying, we need more money. We can serve more people. We have found that, in fact, is inaccurate. We are at capacity at many of the community health centers. Dr. Teresa Long of Columbus Public Health was quoted in the newspaper last weekend saying that capacity is a huge issue within the public health infrastructure within the state of Ohio. So we think that this tiering structure that is being proposed is clearly a punitive effort aimed at Planned Parenthood, solving a problem that absolutely does not exist.
Just joining us, listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher, my guests are Mike Ganadakis. He's executive director of the Ohio Right to Life, and also Gary Doherty. He is the state legislative director of Planned Parenthood Affiliates of Ohio. If you have a question or comment for either of them, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. So, Mike, we talked in the last segment about how the federal money is divvied among the states for family planning. And first of all, does Ohio Right to Life believe that public funds should be used for family planning, specifically birth control and contraceptives?
Ohio Right to Life takes no position on birth control. We think that family planning should be funded in the state of Ohio. You know, we're not breaking new ground here, Ann. In 2006, we did the same priority schedule with state tax dollars, state family planning dollars, and it's in place now. You know, Planned Parenthood's still here and operating since 2006, so they're operating. We're just taking our state family planning dollars and giving them to local departments of health first. We've already done that. We're not Texas. Texas went farther, way farther than what we're proposing here in Ohio. So those cuts and those things that Claire described.
The Medicaid.
That's not in our legislation.
But if they succeed, hypothetically, if they succeed, would that be a tactic, a route that Ohio Right to Life might pursue?
If you say you said if they succeed.
If, in Texas, if assuming it's going to be challenged in the courts and it prevails, that process of eliminating the Medicaid funding for the family planning, that whole program, would that be something that Ohio Right to Life might pursue?
Well,
are you watching it for that?
Well, we're watching it, but we don't believe that there's going to be success there because federal law is very clear on those Medicaid dollars, what they can be used for. So the law is pretty clear. We don't believe they're going to be successful on that part of what Texas did. You know, it's sometimes people say it's good to be first. Well, not in this case. We're not the first state to do this. We've learned from what Indiana did. We've learned from what Texas did. Wisconsin just several months ago did the same thing that we're doing, took $1 million of family planning dollars and put them to the community health centers. That's what we're doing. We're not saying Planned Parenthood can't get any funding. What we're saying is we're going to fund where women are going first, local departments of health, federally qualified community health centers, and then comprehensive cares. Gary said they only see 100,000 women a year. We live in a state of 11.5 million people. So they are clearly not at the top.
Except that in some places they are. It depends on geographically. Marie in Holmes County, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Marie.
Thanks, Ann. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I'm just calling because I come from a very poor community. I live in Holmes County. We have the highest teenage pregnancy rate in the state of Ohio, and we do not really have very much access to family planning. I personally go to a Planned Parenthood in another county because as a Medicaid recipient, I'm a single mom, full-time college student. That's the only place I can find health care that is covered by Medicaid. Mm-hmm. For 20 years, I've used Planned Parenthood as a resource for my family planning, and they've been there for me. And I just think that defunding Planned Parenthood in any sense, for whatever reason, is absolutely unconscionable.
Okay, thanks for your call, Marie.
Thank you.
What about the geographic aspect of it? Does that come into play in this proposal? Mike?
Sure, I'll take a first stab. Okay. Gary, I'm sure we'll have a retort to it. But if you look at a map of the state of Ohio, the 32 Planned Parenthood clinics, they are geographically where the population centers are, Northeast Ohio, Southwest Ohio, Columbus, Toledo. Rarely do you find them out in rural areas. You'll see one in Athens area around OU. There's one near the Holmes County area. But for Marie's question, we're not targeting Medicaid dollars. She can continue to go to Planned Parenthood if she wants to because this priority funding does not touch Medicaid dollars. So where are these centers, these community health centers? Community Action Agencies, Phil Craig, Executive Director, testified 2 weeks ago in the House. They have 50 centers in Southeast Ohio, Appalachia. There's none. There's no Planned Parenthoods down there. Money's going to be available for them. We need to look at the entire state, not just in inner city areas, which are important, but we need to make sure that the entire range of people are getting access to care.
Gary Daugherty?
Money is available or is currently available to the community action agencies that Mike just talked about. And they are more than welcome to apply, and perhaps they already are applying. I don't know. I think what this proposal does, it really disregards cost efficiency. Right now, Planned Parenthood is a leading family planning provider in the state of Ohio. We submit applications for this competitive process. Anybody who is able to demonstrate that they can serve a volume of patients with quality health care is going to score higher in that competitive process. In those cases, they are most likely going to be awarded funds. If we go into this new tiered system whereby all of the funds have to be or all of the public health departments have to have a crack at it first, and then all the FQHCs have to have a crack at it, and so on and so forth, until we get down to the fourth and final tier, which includes Planned Parenthood, it's really throwing out the cost efficiency notion, because if an organization submits an application for funds but doesn't demonstrate cost efficiency, that's not part of the equation.
In this proposal. Well, Mike, what about that? I mean, why it already is competitively there's already a competitive process in place here. Why the tiers?
Because we have a law in the state of Ohio that prefers childbirth over abortion, and we believe in this state of Ohio we need to make sure that we're putting the money in a priority where women are going. Gary, doesn't mean that Planned Parenthood can't get any of the funding, but we're going to give the first crack. If all the three tiers pass, well, then the money is available for Planned Parenthood.
Is that the most efficient use of money, though? Are you convinced that it's always going to be the most efficient?
For 7 years, we've been doing that with our state family planning dollars, giving them first to our local departments of health, and it's currently working.
Startup programs, organizations or health departments that don't currently provide family planning, but see this money, see that they perhaps are getting a preference in getting access to this money, may be tempted by that. Everybody has financial concerns right now. They may be tempted by the possibility of getting those funds, so they start up a family planning program. You cannot tell me that is an efficient use of scarce public dollars. With new infrastructure costs, new staff costs, new costs for materials and supplies. Planned Parenthood has been in place for over 80 years in Ohio. We're the family planning experts. We are the cost-effective provider in Ohio.
But Gary, if you're not located in a portion of the state that's not convenient for you guys to do business, well, we need to get the money to those people that are willing to go service the poor people.
What about the geographic dispersal of the money? Gary, are you confident that enough people are getting it in enough places, particularly in the rural areas? You could say, well, you can go to another county, but that costs money too.
The need is great. There's no question. The need throughout Ohio is great. There are 32 Planned Parenthood health centers. Just because there are 130 public health departments or 150 federally qualified health centers doesn't mean they all provide family planning services. And of those that do, try getting an appointment. Sometimes you can get in a few days. Sometimes it's a few weeks or even a month or so. Family or Planned Parenthood is available. We pride ourselves on being available for same next day services. When we're talking family planning, we want to get patients in a timely manner.
Erin and Bexley, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Erin.
Thanks, Anne. This question is for Mike or Gary. We hear a lot about this idea, or I've heard a lot about women losing their health care with the loss of this funding. But as Mike just mentioned, there's 340 other places. So what are the specific differences between Planned Parenthood, these 32 Planned Parenthood clinics, in these 340 other places that provide health care for women?
Well, I think it's an issue of capacity, as I just mentioned. All of these community health centers do not provide family planning services. A number of them, as an example, are dental only. We find that many people obviously know what services Planned Parenthood provides, that we are the leading family planning provider, so they're comfortable coming to Planned Parenthood. They don't really know that the local health department or community health center down the street or across the county provides family planning. Planned Parenthood is a known and respected provider of family planning, so that's why they come to us.
Mike?
Gary, you know, I think it's quite disrespectful when you said, you know, good luck getting an appointment at a community health center. I think what we're seeing here is a competition between Gary's organization and the vast majority of other organizations that actually provide comprehensive care, will provide prenatal care, mammograms. I use the Senator Turner's Cuyahoga County example, which is 100% accurate. Community health centers provide a vast array of services for women, whether it be family planning or comprehensive care. Planned Parenthood does not. And I think what we're seeing here is a competition because Planned Parenthood doesn't want to lose their piece of the pie or even have a piece of their pie threatened. So you're hearing them come out and say, well, they don't provide this or they don't do that, when in fact they do. They absolutely do.
Many of them do. Not all of them do. That's the point I'm making. And there's no disrespect. As a matter of fact, we have collaborative relationships with many public health departments throughout the state. A number of public health departments do not provide family planning services because they don't have the infrastructure in place to do so. So they refer their patients to Planned Parenthood as the proven provider. Every FQHC, Public Health Department, primary care provider, plays an extraordinarily valuable role in the delivery of health care in the state of Ohio. And with many, we are partners, and we're proud to partner with them.
Aaron, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. We're going to continue our conversation. We're talking about the issue of family planning funds from the federal level and how they're divvied up across the states and in Ohio. If you want to join that conversation, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
On Fresh Air, you'll hear the questions you wish you could have asked to people like Tom Kenny, the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Did it help to hear what your voice sounded like on helium? Did you learn something about your voice you didn't know before?
Yeah, I learned that I don't really need the helium.
Because it's pretty easy to flick that switch and go right up there.
The most interesting people in show business on Fresh Air.
And Fresh Air begins at noon on 89.7 NPR News. In 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, The Birth of Hair Theater and creating a show about hopes and dreams with performer, author, and humorist Pat Wynn Brown. That discussion from 11 till noon on All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. WOSU Public Media presents Chefs in the City 2012, featuring celebrity chef Hubert Keller, along with an elite group of Central Ohio culinary greats, including chef Jenny Britton Bauer of Jenny's Splendid Ice Creams, who is currently showcased on our Facebook page. Be sure to like Chefs in the City on Facebook or visit WOSU.org/chefs. Some sunshine today, also a chance of rain, a high of 80 degrees. Showers and thunderstorms are possible to pop up today, and rain likely tonight, a low of 62. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
On Saturday, about 250 Central Ohioans rallied at the State House for Women's Rights, and chief among their concerns, access to family planning-related health care and efforts in some places to curtail federal funding to Planned Parenthood clinics, including Ohio. GOP leaders in the Ohio House recently backed off a plan to cut about $1.7 million that Planned Parenthood uses for birth control and preventive health care. Another measure to change that into a tiered process, putting Planned Parenthood on a lower tier in Ohio, is pending. Similar conflicts, Right to Life chapters being the biggest opponents of Planned Parenthood, are playing out across the country. We've talked about what's been going on in Texas. Still with us to talk about the situation in Ohio is Mike Ganadakis. He's executive director of Ohio Right to Life. Mike, once again, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And also Gary Daugherty. He's state legislative director for Planned Parenthood Affiliates of Ohio. Once again, Gary, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
If you have a question or comment for our guests, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Gary, in Texas, three regional Planned Parenthood branches have merged into a $129 million per year clinic mega organization, as the New York Times put it, about a week ago. Tell us how that compares and contrasts with what's happening in Ohio right now.
Well, right now, we are also in the process of merging some of the Planned Parenthood affiliates here in the state of Ohio. As of July 1st, Planned Parenthood of North Central Ohio will merge with Planned Parenthood of Central Ohio, which already includes the offices in Southeast Ohio as well as Northwest Ohio, into one affiliate. Planned Parenthood Southwest Ohio region will remain a separate affiliate, although there are discussions about ultimately having a single affiliate in the state of Ohio. When I started with Planned Parenthood 8 years ago, there were 10 affiliates, and now we will soon be at two and hopefully at one. And what that says is that we're striving to be more efficient, not duplicating efforts. We're actually extending our service areas, reaching more patients, and doing it much more efficiently.
Is there anything lost in that equation, though, when it comes to being geographically specific and addressing specific needs in different communities?
There's really nothing lost and much to gain by having a presence throughout the state of Ohio, not duplicating services in different regions of the state, but instead using one pot of funds to finance those operations and to see those patients.
Now, Texas in particular, they said, the folks from Planned Parenthood in Texas have said that they're, one of the big reasons why they're doing this is to coalesce forces to withstand the efforts by Right to Life across the country, but in Texas in particular, to defund them.
That's an added benefit, I think. But, you know, our purpose, and as I said, this was started more than 8 years ago before I came, a systematic merger or combination of affiliates, not necessarily to become a greater political structure, but instead to be a more efficient healthcare provider.
Sam in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Sam.
Thank you so much, Jan, for taking my call. I'll try to make this brief. I'm a family practitioner, and I have worked at several federally qualified health centers in Ohio, and I'm actually driving to one right now. And I guess I just want to say that I appreciate Planned Parenthood. We do have resource and capability issues in terms of taking care of our female patients at all of the FQHCs that I worked at. And I've worked at several in Central Ohio. Right now, you know, I have patients that are uninsured. I kind of get their preventative health through the Breast and Cervical Cancer Prevention Project. They're out of funds, so my patients are on waiting list for that. And, you know, our center doesn't charge much to see the patient to do this, but their pathology charges involved if they have to have with the pap smear, with the breast biopsy, if they have to have the breast biopsy done for abnormal mammograms. And I think Planned Parenthood fills a vital need in that they are mission-focused on delivering the best contraceptive and helping women plan their families. And I think that's so crucial, especially in times when everybody is resource-driven. My patients don't have ready access to Planned Parenthood. They would have to drive to get there. With gas costs, that's a huge consideration. Planned Parenthood was there for me when I was 21 years old in college and scared, and they will always have a special place in my heart. But even if that were not so, I think the best way to combat abortion is to help women and women that have little resources and little education plan their families.
Thank you, Sam. Mike Ganadakis, you know, taking off on what Sam just said, why fight the family planning aspect of Planned Parenthood? Why divert your attention to the family planning and the health care related aspects of Planned Parenthood instead of continuing to focus on specifically abortion and abortion rights?
Well, you know, Dr. Sam said in her final comments, you know, to help combat abortion. Well, I'm not sure why we'd want to fund Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider, if we want to combat abortion. Those were Sam's words. We need to help Planned Parenthood to combat abortion. You know, let's not shed a tear for Planned Parenthood. According to their annual report, they're a $1 billion industry, okay? According to their annual report, they get $363 million a year in our tax dollars. They charge on average $451 for a first trimester abortion. This isn't poor old little Planned Parenthood. They're a mega industry, okay? They're referred to, where at least the circles we run in, is the Walmart of the industry.
Walmart makes a big fat profit, and last time I checked,
they have $1 billion in assets, according to their annual
report.
But
they're not for profit still.
Well, where's the $1 billion going then? According to their annual report, $1 billion. You know, in the opening segment, you indicated that women were rallying at the State House for access to family planning dollars. They should join us. We're trying to get those family planning dollars two women, where they most are, where the most of them are going at the centers, at the community health centers. I mean, a lot of opinion leaders in Ohio complain when, if we just take out the Planned Parenthood for a moment, about nursing homes. Man, they get so much money and they're so small, this, that, and the other. Well, the same should be applied to Planned Parenthood. Why is this special interest group getting so many of our tax
dollars?
Well,
do you think they get favored treatment?
Well, of course they do. If you look at $363 million a year of our tax dollars, why do they continue to get that? When if the goal is to, you commonly heard from Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, to reduce abortion, since 1998.
But the funding does not go for abortion. When they're competing for this funding, the funding is for health care, family planning, and related health care.
Yeah, but for every one adoption that they refer out, they're doing hundreds of abortions. So where are we really looking at here? I mean, let's really get to the point, because I understand their advocacy arguments. I understand them. But our advocacy arguments are always dismissed. But yet when you look at just the black and white numbers from their annual report, what they advocate and what they actually do are not the same.
Gary Daugherty?
Well, I would take issue with that. I think what we do is provide quality health care services. As was mentioned at the top of the program, nearly 97% of what we do in the state of Ohio is preventive health care. I would agree with Dr. Sam, who we just talked to. We should be placing more emphasis on the prevention of unintended pregnancies if we really want to reduce the number of abortions in the state of Ohio. We need to increase access to family planning. We don't need to play games with shuttling money here and there and trying to keep it away from one provider and benefit another provider. We need to make cost-effective use of scarce public taxpayer dollars, make sure that those providers who are able to provide services to a high volume of women get the same access to those funds as any other organization. In other words, the system now works. There's no need at all to change the system. And let's focus on the prevention of unintended pregnancies. That should be a mutual goal of all of us.
Stephen in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. How are you doing today?
Fine, thank you.
Well, I just had a question. I had a comment and a question. My first comment is, I think it's deplorable that a group like Right to Life would have to exist in our country. I mean, to me, more morally, it's a no-brainer that, you know, abortion shouldn't be taking place legally. But my question about Planned Parenthood is they keep saying the term family planning, and I'm wondering what exactly is involved in that term family planning.
Well,
like what?
It's a good question.
What services are offered, and is the abortion aspect actually included when they're talking about family planning? Is abortion in that realm of their services?
All right, Stephen, we're talking about federal funding for family planning services, including places like Planned Parenthood. We did talk about that at the beginning, but why don't we reiterate, Gary Daugherty, what we're talking about when it comes to federal funding for family planning?
Family planning, first of all, thank you, Stephen, for the call. Family planning includes obvious things like birth control and pregnancy testing. It also includes breast and cervical cancer screenings. It also includes testing and treatment for sexually transmitted infections. All of these are critical to planning one's family. It does not include abortion. Federal funds are not used to provide abortions in Ohio. So in the definition of family planning from Planned Parenthood's perspective, it includes the preventive services that we've talked about.
Do you agree, Mike Gonadakis, that that's what the federal funding is for?
Well, no, I don't think that's specifically what the federal statute says. As Gary said, in our opinion, this is what family planning is for. So he at his own mission, indicated. You know, the bottom line is that we need to provide health care for women in the state of Ohio. I think we can all agree on that. And if a vast majority of women are going to specific centers and places, let's give a majority of that, those resources to them. It really is. It's that simple. It's no one's looking to close the doors.
Isn't that already a function of the competitive, the RFPs, the request for proposals that go to the state of Ohio when they're divvying up the federal funding? Isn't that already, how many people do we serve every year? You know, what kind of services do we provide to them? Abortions are not part of that mix.
The state of Ohio is a pass-through state for a lot of these federal dollars, right, as Claire mentioned at the beginning. And the Department of Health, regardless of the administration, regardless of who the director is can determine, unless there is a specific state law that says otherwise, where those dollars go. What we are trying to do is put a priority to make sure that those dollars are going to where the most women and their children can go get comprehensive health care.
Stephen, thanks for that call. Ashley in Cleveland, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Ashley.
Hi there.
Hi.
So I just had a question for Right to Life. During one of the hearings on the legislation that would impact Planned Parenthood funding, a representative from Right to Life stated that something along the lines of, we all know why Planned Parenthood exists in communities like Kent, essentially making an assumption about the behavior and values of college-age women. I would like Mike to further clarify what was meant by that statement.
Okay. Well,
Mike
Ashley,
Janajakis.
Thank you for your question. That representative was our lobbyist, and she was not making a comment on women. She was making a comment on Planned Parenthood. You know, there's an old saying in the Right to Life movement that not only is there a gun and liquor store in every inner city community, but there's also Planned Parenthood. Why are they on college campuses? Because that's where a vast majority of abortions are taking place, by young college women.
Well, but as far as providing family planning services, you're saying
their widget and their money maker is abortion. That's what they make their money off of. It's the bottom line, and that's why they have a convenient campus at Athens. That's why they have a convenient campus at Kent State and around college campuses. Because if you look at the Ohio Department of Health's report that comes out each and every year, a vast majority of women that have abortions in Ohio are college age women.
Okay. Mike Ganadakis, Gary Daugherty, last word?
Well, I would say that Planned Parenthood is involved in the Kent community and others throughout the country or throughout the state because there's a need for family planning services. In these areas of the state, many young women are away from home, often for the first time. They left their family physician back home. They don't have a family care physician in their new city. Planned Parenthood is a comfortable place for them to go where they can get good care, good quality health care. They're comfortable with us, and we're going to provide that health care for those who need it.
Gary Daugherty, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Ann.
Gary Daugherty, he's State Legislative Director of Planned Parenthood Affiliates of Ohio, and Mike Ganadakis, thanks again for joining us
today, Mike.
Ann.
Thank you.
Mike is Executive Director of the Ohio Right to Life. Thanks to everybody for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.